Good evening, everyone. This is Tom, podcasting from Bermuda. I'm literally under the stars in a hammock right now. You can probably tell by my voice, super relaxed. I can hear these little twitty tweets in the background. They're frogs. Everyone gets confused about them when they first come to the island, but it's me and the frogs out here right now, and they're all jumping all over me. You can hear the little whistling in the background. Anyway, I'm not really sure what I want to speak about. Someone who speaks so much and like wants to yaddy all the time. I'm by myself. I lose the catalyst to speak. But anyway, I thought tonight I was just talking to a few friends of mine and about some of the things that's happened in Bermuda recently. And one of the biggest things was the launch of the Royal Bermuda Yacht Club Sailing Academy, which we kind of started in 2011. And I'll probably miss a whole bunch of info, but without having it written down in front of me, specifically around the kind of achievements, which are really well documented through results, but actually the achievements are the passion, the kind of career pathways, the drive that's really been achieved with all of those young sailors. And I would even say young people, really, not taking the sailing, this kind of sailing element away from it, and developing young people, and that's the coolest thing about it. But it's very difficult to measure and document that. I can probably just do it verbally by talking about it through this podcast. But recently, I just wanted to talk about some of the results, literally off one dock that we've got. We've even built at the Yacht Club in 2012. Actually, it wasn't even built in 2011. And some of the outcomes from this kind of little, tiny little rock in the middle of the Atlantic. So just recently, let's go from the most recent. So yesterday there was a young girl called Matilda. She came second in the Youth World Championships, silver medal there. Was very unlucky not to win it, had a black flag in the first race, which means you're over the start line early. And she also won the British National Youth Championships this year. Next to her, the week before that, it's kind of crazy how this is all happening, was a young boy called Christian Eben, who's only 13, and he absolutely smashed the British Nationals. He's the British champion, representing Bermuda, of course. Before that, a week before him, was a little boy called Fikra. Fika was actually representing Ireland, but learned his whole sailing trade, but also thanks hugely to his coaches and support from the Irish Sailing Federation, or IODI. But Fika won the French National Championships. He's been sailing in Ireland for about a year, but he absolutely destroyed the French Nationals, won it on the last race, and, you know, it was a lot of good sailing talent, not only from the Ireland, but from the UK, from all around Europe, and of course France, that he was racing against, and he did really, really well there. Very, so uber proud of him for doing that. And meanwhile, you know, his brother was actually the reigning Irish national champion from 2017, and young Rian as well, doing super, super well, who just qualified for the Irish national squad. Then previous to that, we had Campbell Patton, who actually won the Southeast Australian championships, and who proclaimed that he personally, he said, I shouldn't have won it, but he did. Really, really proud of Cambo as well. And then probably going a bit of a leap into the season before that. But, you know, there's also like Tate Stefanik, like who was the Canadian Laser Radial Youth National Champion. From the same dock again, like what the heck is going on here? And little Sebastian Kemp, second in North Americans, and this is just all within a period of a year. Flo Nichols, 4.7 under 16 European champion. Like what the heck is going on? I really was like flabbergasted by all these amazing little results, but the results are a real kind of summary of how passionate and and driven these young sailors are becoming. And that's really, I think, where we set the gauntlet apart from anyone else. It wasn't the coaching. It wasn't the technical coaching or the, although I think both those elements were really, really good from people like, Ben Payton, Robbie Burns, Nathan Bailey, Sean Evans, Sean Priestley, a lot of the guys that I hired to come over and coach in Bermuda. But, I think all of them bring a key core element of passion building, which makes relentless training a lot easier and kind of a lot more achievable. It wouldn't be achievable if you weren't passionate about it in the first place. So that's why I really think there's a kind of a secret ingredient there, and it comes with teaching yourself things, you know, making things a lot easier. And there's a whole story behind each one of those individual sailors, and I could probably natter on for hours and hours and hours. But they all possess different characteristics, and they've done very well in their own domain, whether it's, you know, as I Smith, I was traveling with New Zealand. He never sailed an open bic before, and went and won the open bic New Zealand Nationals. So he's the national champion of the open bic class. Like, what? Like, just, I was like, oh, just unbelievably proud of all these kids, you know. So with that being said, I'm probably going to try and document something in writing and get it written down, because there's so many other youngsters, even the youngsters before them, like even Chase, Antonio, Mackay, Sam Stan, who really kind of drove those youngsters. Ben Smith, oh my God. So anyway, we'll see. You can hear my voice, how thrilled I am, and we'll see what's next. So thanks, everyone. So yeah, I thought I'd just kind of follow up with, well, you know, how do we actually achieve this success? And for those of you that are probably just listening or trying to understand where I'm coming from, this is a little sailing program on an island of 65,000 people. And it was a kind of a performance objective, but a learn to sail program, kind of like a sports club, really, you know. And we had tremendous kind of success in the short term, and I've kind of left the organization since then, sadly. Maybe not thinking about the macro, but in the micro, just like trying to understand how there was so much success in such a short period of time, and there continues and hopefully continues to be success. But for me, really, the fundamental goal that I had was to make it frictionless. And what I mean by frictionless was, sailing's a really, really tough sport. There's a lot of friction. I call faffing. It means flapping around with stuff to make it happen. And how can you take the friction out of it? And for me, it was like, really for the kids, is to make it as smooth sailing as possible, and to reduce any lead up time to getting on the water. And a lot of people kind of call it the 2-for-1 in sailing, where you spend 2 times the amount of preparation doing it, and then the 1 time of actually doing the activity itself. And that's really followed up with the time actually de-rigging and then getting ready and packing away. But for me, sailing is an incredible sport. It teaches you so much about life. About your kind of interaction with others, your independence, your self-thinking. You've really got to be in control of your brain. When you're on the water, it sounds so simple, but something I've discovered really since kind of growing up a little bit more is that as an adult, you don't really do much for yourself. You're always in the company of others, and to really hone in and focus by yourself is such a unique skill, and to be headstrong. So other than that, I mean, it teaches you about some of the world's modern problems. You know, single-use plastics destroying our oceans at the moment. I mean, you're literally living and breathing it. But I wanted to get to the point of the kind of recreational passion that I talked about in the last kind of segment, and trying to understand how these kids have done so well from literally nothing or not knowing what they know. So one of the things that we did was we created this amazing infrastructure. And it sounds so simplistic, but it's literally a floating dock in a sheltered marina where you can walk down from your school. You can literally grab your sail, which is already pre-rigged, and you walk it within the space of 20 meters, pop it in your boat, and you launch off a dock with a 6-inch face, which basically means you just tumble the boat into the water within a very sheltered little marina. And we were so lucky to get this kind of floating dock in this marina. Planning were against us, environment were against us, but actually what we created was this just like zero to hero instrument, really, where it just allowed you to get sailing. For somebody who's never sailed before, it makes it super, super easy. You don't have to worry about the launching, the direction you're facing, the kind of the rigging. We actually were very weak at rigging for a long time, which is, for some of you that don't know, is kind of setting the sail up and knowing your knots and being a rig junkie and having your boat facing the right direction and, you know, being able to launch on a lee shore landing or vice versa with the wind blowing you offshore or, you know, landing in a very difficult sea state, for example. And these things were all overseen because of removing the friction of learning to sail. What else do we do? So sailing is quite a scary sport when you start. You typically step on a boat, it's really, really wobbly, kind of like me in this hammock right now. It's really off-putting as a youngster, it's horrible. The water can be it can be blinking cold. You need to buy all this kit to get yourself in the water safe, to be safe and sound in your first couple of goes. So what we actually did was we developed mainly Paul Dowdy was a key kind of key friend of mine who helped develop it. And then to be honest, Gus Miller and Tim Patton were also the ones helping to, I would say, ensure that we had it in place across several platforms. But Paul and I actually developed this really fine-tuned platform called the OptiStimulator, we called it, often known as the Simulator, which effectively is a dolly or a trolley reversed, so you can actually steer off the rudder and you steer on the dolly wheels, and it just is remarkable, using the sail as the power source, kind of like a blowcart in a way, like a sail simulator on land. But we would use this as kind of the, you know, the mandatory first go sailing platform. So a 6-7-year-old were learning hands and feet kind of technique ashore without the fear of going afloat and capsizing. But they would learn it, and the genius of it is your coach boat, i.e. your coach, was able to give you direct feedback within, you know, literally inches, a meter of you learning the ropes. And that's not achievable on the water. And I really hope people listening who are looking to get into sailing are really taking note of this. So that was one other element that we had, you know, in terms of perhaps the friction reduction there was actually taking the fear factor away. What else do we have? Reducing the sail surface area sounds really obvious, sounds really simple, but I would go to the point of, you know, trimming or rolling or doing whatever I could and ensuring the boat could still sail upwind so they didn't lose theory, technique, etc., but making it applicable to the sailor's weight, making the boom super, super high for the first go in the boat, putting a foam noodle on the boom so when they get hit in the head a few times, instead of using a helmet, they would just be used to the boom and the wind awareness that would be developed as a result of being smacked on the head a few times, but with a thick foam covering. I actually went to a local air conditioning specialist, and they gave me a ton of this kind of, I think, a 3/4-inch insulating pipe, which is foam, which is just like incredible stuff. The kids even love being hit in the head in a way. What else is another big one? Oh, this is quite an interesting one. The VersaDock. I installed a VersaDock for all five coach boats years before anyone else had thought of it. And you know, when I was learning to sail, or when I was coaching at a young age, one of the biggest off kind of putting things for me as a coach was just launching and recovering our safety boats. And it would take, you know, if the tide was bad, an hour of faffing around with just getting the, and it would put you in a bad mood before even starting, and not even allowing you to spend the time ahead of the session focusing on developing a good session, so a good lesson plan, if that makes sense. Meanwhile, you'd be spending time just thinking about how you're going to recover the rib, how you're going to get back to the classroom in time, are the kids okay, you haven't seen them for 30 minutes. And then all these kind of things that just are such a big distraction. So making efficient time of everyone's time, actually. So in kind of a, if I looked at it holistically, you know, coming back to what I was saying at the start, was making sure that you make it frictionless, whether it's parents, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the sailors, whether it's the equipment, whether it's the facility. You know, I even got to the point of running some training sessions in 50 meter swimming pools that which there was an abundance of, and they weren't being used, and you know, and I was in the pool with the kids and just taking those fear factors away. So if there's any like aspiring coach out there, whether it's sailing, windsurfing, water sports, surfing, kite surfing, actually to even go to the point of talking about football and cricket or rugby, or which are kind of more popular sports because there's less friction in them already. But how can you reduce that friction? And I think that's been one of my kind of core successes today. Anyway, that being said, like, you know, I don't really know why I'm on here, but give me, if you do listen to this and you kind of are inspired or want to know a little bit more about what I've been talking about, or want to share some ideas, maybe just send me an email at thomasherbertevans@gmail.com. I'm not even sure what my other platforms are, but like, you know, even Tom Herbert Evans on Facebook, and hit me up, and I'd love to chat further about this. I'm really, really passionate about it, as you can probably tell, and love to hear your ideas. So on the back of that, I just actually want to add two more things, and I'll keep thinking about this as the evening goes on. And I suppose this is quite applicable to any club, sport club, actually, you know, and even any kind of camp in the world, really. But looking at those results, and after reviewing what I was just talking about maybe 10, 20 minutes ago, every single sailor that I mentioned there that was successful, I had some major interactions with their parents from day one. And what I mean by that is, even if some of those sailors weren't as successful as they could have been, the ones that have really stuck at it and really developed a lot of passion, there is certainly an element where we need to have some involvement from mum and dad, grandfather, grandmother, uncle or auntie, godfather, whoever it is. And every single one of those children, I can actually name their parents, probably their grandparents, but I can tell you that their mum and dad were there from the get-go. And that's something really, really critical that often gets overlooked. Now, compare that to the parents of some of the students who would be the drop-and-goes. I call them the kind of, you literally see them pull out of a club and they drop. You barely see the whites of their teeth and they've gone. And those parents, the ones that think that they're doing the best for their children, but aren't putting the time in or the work in with their kids. And I think that's a fundamental difference. They're not by any means helicopter parents. We're comparing parents that actually really genuinely care. Now, the other thing I think I mentioned just now was the sport club thing. And the performance objectives. And there's no really performance objectives, but I think in life you have your Mr. Miyagi's. And what I mean by that, I'm a Miyagi in terms of, you know, some people call me the Pied Piper, but I was actually just very passionate about trying to get kids into racing or sailboat racing. And maybe there's a bit of a chip on my shoulder about not achieving as much as I personally would have liked when I was growing up, but I am ultra passionate about getting kids into racing because there's so much skill involved with it. You know, I just can't, you can barely, you know, some of you out there who do sail, you'll know what I'm saying. And it's so difficult to explain the kind of the infinite learning curve and how there is so much to achieve that never one day is the same. It is always different, unlike other sports. And just, you know, I think the Mr. Miyagi in me, the person who just trying to explain, you know, to parents or students or sailors about your coach and what your coach has got on their chest and what they really want to achieve. And they're ultra passionate. They want to pass on their learning objectives, their passions, their what they've got on their kind of on their personal hit list of you know of to learn really. And I think you've really got to find a special Mr. Miyagi or a special coach out there, and that'll make a huge difference. So without that being without any f